Well, now, the latest political poll results spell bad news for National. The News Hub Read Research poll last night had Labor on 56.5 percentage points, up 14, while National's down 12.7 percentage points to 30.6. The poll has Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's preferred Prime Minister rating now at nearly 60%, Simon Bridges languishing on 4.5%. Were they to be translated on election night, these numbers would see Labour with 72 seats in Parliament and 11 more than needed to govern. New Zealand First would be out, and so would at least 16 current National Party MPs. However, it is a poll at an extraordinary time. And what is the response within National to it? What should be the response? To discuss, Matthew Hoot, an Auckland-based public relations consultant and lobbyist and our political commentator. Good morning.
Good morning.
Neil Jones, a former Chief of Staff to Labour leaders and now Director of Capital Government Relations.
Good morning.
Good morning. Look, Matthew, it's a shocking poll, but actually in many ways not shocking. It confirms at least one private poll that had been doing the rounds for some weeks, and it comes at an exceptional time. How do you interpret it?
Well, yes, you would expect the government to go up and the opposition to go down under the circumstances of the last few months, and that's happening around the world. However, this is a 25-point gap between National and Labour, and that's simply extraordinary. And the National Party has to take that very seriously. They are taking it seriously, although they do expect another poll to come out on Thursday from TVNZ, the Colmar Brunton. And they'll just see what that has to say. If it is as bad as this, then I would expect there would be enormous pressure on the current leader and deputy leader to at least offer their resignations to the caucus. If it comes in at 34, 35, 36, however, there's a chance that some of the more conservative, I mean personally conservative, members of the National Party caucus will think, well, you know, we were 30 on one poll, now we're 35, that's not too bad. And, you know, there is a hunk of them in a Conservative Party that don't want to be responding to polls. And their views on this are going to be what decides Simon Bridges' future.
Neil, Labour's the highest result ever in this poll. But ironically, back in February, National and Labour had never been closer in the same poll. So they were virtually tied. Again, how do National MPs process what has happened these last few weeks, how long it will last, and what to do in response?
I think, as Matthew says, it is a very serious situation. I think it's even worse than Matthew lays out. If you put the numbers together of the voting blocks, the governing parties are on 65% and National and ACT are on 32%. So that's more than double. The other thing I'd point out is that National's had a pretty solid base of at least 40% ever since they consolidated the centre-right vote under Don Brash all those years ago. This poll suggests that Ardern is carving deeply into National's core voter support. Now, obviously, these numbers will tighten up significantly as we get towards the election. I think even the most desperately negative National MP would recognise that it won't be this bad. And National has opportunities as the economy comes to the forefront. But I think their minds will be very focused on the fact that a lot of them on this poll will lose their jobs and their colleagues will lose their jobs. And the question they're going to be asking themselves is Simon Bridges the leader to take them out of this hole? And as much as the Labour partisan within me would like to say, save Simon, my honest view is that he has damaged his brand too badly to come back. He has, I think, the more revealing poll in some ways was the poll on the lockdown support, which showed 91.6% for the government's actions and 6% opposition. And the vox pops on 3 News last night in the street were just absolutely damning of Bridges. I think he's woefully misjudged the public mood over the lockdown and put himself on the wrong side of public opinion during a crisis. And I think that has made his brand toxic, and that has got to be a contribution to how terrible this poll is. Now, if you look back to when Labour was in a similar position in 2017, although not quite as bad as this, you know, Andrew Little had the humility and the self-awareness to recognise that he was not the person to get Labour out of that hole. And I guess the question is whether Bridges has that level of self-reflection or whether he'll wait for his MPs to do it for him.
Where are the crunch times? This next Tuesday's caucus, they'll be back. You can't avoid discussing it, although perhaps, as we said, the figures are the same as has been around the traps for a few weeks anyway. Is that the first hurdle for him to survive? Are they anywhere near ready? And is anyone prepared to put their hand up for a contest, Matthew?
On Tuesday, a week from now, if that second poll has come out and it is nearly as bad as this, and National MPs don't fool themselves into seeing a positive trend, then I think the caucus will absolutely insist upon seeing the National Party's private polling. Now, they have absolutely insisted a few times earlier. None has been shared with them, as I understand it, since February. But if Simon Bridges were to show up at that caucus on Tuesday after two bad polls and say, well, actually, I'm going to keep secret our internal private polling, then, you know, that would be the end of him. But I think the most likely thing is that while enormous pressure will come on him, as Natalie Bridges has said, he's a dirty little street fighter, and I think he will try and fight on. And that means National probably has to ready itself for some bloodletting. It will be very, very difficult because there is no one with a majority, as I think I said a few weeks ago on this program. None of the people who wish to be leader, including Bridges, have a majority. So there would probably, if he wants to put his name in and try and defend himself, there would need to be a ballot system. And it, you know, it would be a bloodletting. Now, parties worry about bloodlettings, but to some extent, that's the only way leaders really get changed, except in the most extraordinary circumstances. And you know, what you then need to do is unify. And I don't see that, even if there is a contested election result, that's necessarily the end of the world for National, as long as the winner, whoever it is, you know, reaches out to those that didn't support them.
Well, who would put their hand up is the other thing, Neil. If you were serious about being a leader, why would you do it at a time where, you know, the polls are suggesting your odds of winning the election are not great? You either pull off some kind of a miracle in what you would be hoping would be more favourable circumstances a couple of months down the track, or you're in and out in no time. That's the other issue. Who would want it?
Indeed, although I think if you were going to try and take on the leadership at this stage, unless you were just doing it for the good of the party to save the furniture, I think you would look at it and you'd say, well, the polls are currently at 30. If Colmar Brunton's similar, you could expect probably a 10% bump over the next few months. And you could try and make an argument after the election that, hey, you did a respectable job and you should be given another chance. I think, though, you know, the point you raise is one of the difficulties they face. I was chief of staff to Andrew Little and then Jacinda Ardern through the transition, so I saw this up close. And one of the advantages Labor had in 2017 was that, A, Andrew Little stood aside, so there was not a bloody leadership coup, which I think is damaging before an election. The other point was that there was a clear successor. It was obvious that the only person there was Jacinda Ardern. You know, she was a household name, she clearly was a political phenomenon, and she was Andrew Little's deputy. And so I think one of the problems National has is there's no obvious contender. You have someone like Judith Collins, a very polarising figure who would take National into a probably very dark cul-de-sac. And then you have someone like Todd Muller, who I think is very capable, a very good traditional National Party leader, with someone like Nikki Kaye at his side could do quite well. But again, lacks that household name, doesn't have a lot of presence, so would have quite a hard job getting attention over the coming months. So I think that is a real problem for National, is how to avoid the bloodletting, and how to find someone who actually looks like they'll be able to take the job on and do an obviously better job.
The other party in here at 2.7% down, almost a percentage point, New Zealand First. Again, look, when you saw 90% of those polled agreed with the lockdown, there is an obvious effect here, and the question is how much does it recede and how much does the situation become sustained? For New Zealand First, are they just accepting that some of their voters are joining in a particular approval at the moment, or is there a deeper concern for them with a result like this, Matthew?
Well, I think, you know, you have to remember Winston Peters is 75. He has been around for a long time. He has managed the people that supported him 25, 30 years ago are no longer with us, so he has managed to get a new generation of people. But those people that were angry about the things they were angry about 30 years ago are not his current base. And his age is becoming a factor. I get the impression that some of his MPs have almost thrown in the towel. They're not working as hard as they might be. I think there is almost a sense of dread in New Zealand First about what's ahead of them, because I think either they're most likely going to miss out on this 5%. They haven't delivered on the infrastructure projects they've promised parts of the country. But even worse in some ways is what would be required to get to 5% again. And if you're one of the New Zealand First MPs who would like to have a respectable career after politics, I'm not sure you want to be associated with what would be required to get back to 5%. It would certainly require a breakup of the coalition were Winston Peters to use the type of rhetoric that I think would guarantee him 5%.
Your take, Neil?
I think, I mean, obviously you don't want to be on 2.7% 4 months out from an election, but I think, you know, New Zealand First will back themselves in a campaign to get up to 5%. There have been other polls showing them above 5%, so I wouldn't rule them out. I think the other point is New Zealand First, and Winston Peters has been talking a lot about the insurance policy, which is if you're a National voter and you think National's cooked, then you might look at it and say, well, I don't want Labour and the Greens running the country unopposed. I'll vote New Zealand First and put a spanner in the works and moderate them. So I think we'll see a bit more of that from New Zealand First.
And that's a very important point.
You've also flagged the risk to National, because that was where things went in 2002. And that is why they will not want to see sustained low polling, because they will not want their own people to panic. Look, there is so long to run. It will never be such a long 4 months as the next 4 months. Maybe if Mr. Bridges can survive the immediate, July might be another time where really hard decisions are made. One suspects. Thanks both of you very much, Matthew Hooton and Neil Jones.